Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 33. I'll read the verses that are found on the top of the page. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Whenever I read that, this is from Isaiah 53:4-5, and realize that these words were written by the prophet hundreds of years before Jesus. And it's so amazing to me that God in his loving kindness gives us prophecy to help verify what we know in our hearts about Jesus, that he is indeed the Messiah. But these very words were written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus' crucifixion, and yet they speak so clearly about him. The first thing it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yesterday, I didn't get to go to church yesterday because I was still recovering from my bout on Friday night, Saturday night with my stomach. And so I watched it on the internet, and my pastor had done a sermon on not wasting your wilderness. And it goes back into my thinking again about suffering. I have shared before that as a new Christian, I could not believe that I was going to have to do some more suffering. I didn't quite get it yet. But I thought that once I made that true commitment to follow Jesus no matter what, then that meant the end of all suffering. You know, that I would, it would be one of those happy ever after. But I didn't realize that suffering is the way of the cross. And if I say that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, then that means that I will encounter suffering. I will encounter wilderness times, times when, as Elizabeth Elliot says, that, times when I have things that I don't want, and I want things that I don't have. And that indeed is suffering. But he has carried that for me. He knows everything that goes in with me. There's nothing that I experience that God does not know about. It said on in those verses, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God. I used to rely on my intellect to give me all the feedback that I needed about the world's truth. And now I realize that my intellect can have it all wrong. And in this particular verse, speaking of Jesus, there were many who watched him. And they saw him as being stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But it goes on to explain, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for my imperfection. I've shared that one of the things that I was challenged to do early on in my Christian walk was to read through the Bible yearly, which by God's grace, I really try to keep that commitment. And year after year, as I read through the Bible and see, again, God's love letter to me, how everything really fits in and how it truly points to the Messiah, it tells the story of the fallenness of man, how at the beginning in Genesis it speaks about God making this beautiful world and putting a man and woman into this beautiful place, and how after even having everything given to them, they were tempted to want more. And in the process, they sinned against God, and he had to reprimand them and punish them, but not without hope, not without the understanding that there would be a relief maker. And that relief maker would be the Messiah. And over the years before the coming of the Messiah, people had ways, whenever they sinned, needing forgiveness, that they had a system of sacrifices. And the Bible itself says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Even Adam and Eve had to shed blood because the clothes that they were worn, that they had to put on once they realized they were naked, were animals that had to be killed for them. And so there was a system of animal sacrifice, but the animal sacrifice couldn't take care of it. And God himself came down as man, came down as his son, and he became the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice for my imperfection. It says that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. My peace was purchased through the pains of Jesus Christ. And I, when I think deeply about that, it makes me very, very humble. And at the same time, it makes me so grateful that I know that today. And I know what length he has gone for me. It becomes the impetus behind my willingness to work for him and to serve him well today. It says, by his stripes we are healed. My healing was made possible by his death. In the reading, it talks about misunderstanding. And it starts off talking about the physical abstinence. And in my physical abstinence, I do weigh and measure. And when people see that, they actually see it. Many of them see it as a hardship. They cannot see the quote-unquote fun in what I do at all. They sometimes even say my food choices are bland and whatever, and how can I eat this, and blah, 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 and on and on and on. And like I said, in the reading, a part of me used to get, you know, really huffy and angry and, you know, get back sort of a thing. And I realized that that is not my place to do that, because my abstinence is a gate opener and not a gate closer. It opens the gate so that I can walk through and be effective, and others can come closer to me, and I can share the good news when the Lord makes it clear that the time is right. So I must practice humility. And also remember that what they are understanding is what I understood at one time. Please, I knew about abstinence. When I first went into my recovery meeting, I went into recovery. My first recovery meeting, I went in 1977. And it took a whole year for me, almost about 9 months, for me to go back to a second meeting because my pride, when I saw what they were doing at the recovery meeting, it was like, nah, I can do it better myself. And went home and continued my eating and continued gaining more weight, that when I crawled back 9 months later, I had even more weight to deal with. And so I too had those closed eyes of thinking that any restriction on my food was going to be a hardship. I did not see the grace in it at all. And today, by the grace of God, I know it is a gift. And it was God who opened my eyes. He opened my eyes to the truth. And He also has opened my eyes to the truth of His Word. Even after I had been in recovery for quite some years, I did not understand Jesus. I was pursuing a relationship with what I had been taught to say, a power greater than myself. But I did not call Him Jesus. And I did not understand the tradition. Even I had grown up in a Christian tradition, but I still didn't have any understanding of who Jesus was. I didn't have that knowledge that He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. I did not understand that He is God, that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I did not understand it. I had heard those words. I had heard that, but I didn't have a deep understanding. It was God Himself who opened up the understanding for me. And I am very, very grateful for that. Very grateful. I think about that verse in Ephesians. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God so that no man can boast. And so it is a gift of God. Faith is actually a God-given gift. And all I need to do is to want it and ask for it. I remember many years seeing people of faith and wondering, how did they get there? And it wasn't until I cried out to the Lord, wanting Him, wanting to grow closer to Him, that He came, you know, came closer. He could not wait for me, actually, to draw near to me, draw near to Him, as the song says. You know, He was trying to draw near to me, but I was too busy doing my own thing and being distracted and not being able to see it. But crying out to Him, that humility helped to open up my eyes to see what He wanted to give to me. It says, I had heard the story of Jesus' crucifixion for years, yet I never knew in my heart what it had to do with me personally. I have shared that I used to hear about sin, but I knew my sin wasn't that bad. I knew that other people had done worse stuff than I had done, and so as long as I had that attitude, of course, I didn't see anything wrong with me coming to a perfect God. But a perfect God requires perfection, and I cannot be perfect on my own. I have to be in the body of Christ, the true body of Christ. I have to be covered by the blood of Jesus, and I am covered by Him. And so that when the God the Father sees me, He sees His Son, who is perfect. I have no righteousness on my own. That Jesus Christ is my righteousness. And the reading goes on. There are other things that I could say, but I just want to just point some other things out in the reading. Later on, I'll have a volunteer read that prayer at the end. But there were two lines that I wanted to point out. It says, thank you for loving me and saving me, even when I didn't love you. Romans 5:8 says, you know, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. You know, He died on the cross for my sins. And He died on the cross even when I, like I said, did not know Him or acknowledge Him. He was there for me, just like he's there for those who don't know him yet. So that's why for me to get an attitude for, you know, about the people who are acting out, those who don't know him, or, you know, what's that all about? I don't, you know, if I do that, then I'm saying I don't understand it all, or I'm being prideful. Probably the latter, because I can get on my little pride thing that, you know, I'm so good, which I'm not. It says also another line in that prayer, teach me to share the good news from a place of deep gratitude for what you did for me. And I find that is definitely the best way to share, is to share from that gratitude. I have to remind myself what it was like, how I was, even not just the surface what it was like, but the deep, deep heart of what it was like. And it says in the Bible in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? And I had to go back into my thinking about the deceitfulness in my heart. And it is truly about Jesus. The second bullet in the Digging Deeper says, take time to read about Saul in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And we were just reading about Saul, or talking about Saul, because we just finished one of his epistles, Ephesians. And we have already started Philippians, and we'll continue with that in August when we come back on the Saturday Bible study. But the story of Saul is that he later became the Apostle Paul. But Saul was one who persecuted Christians. He went about trying to get them killed because he felt that they went against his religious system. And one of the things that I have come to understand about Saul was that he was trying to work for God without a relationship with Jesus. That's impossible. I cannot work for God without a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus places the Holy Spirit inside of me. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that I truly work for God. But I thank you so much, always, for giving me an opportunity to share.